Queridos hermanos y hermanas, dear friends, if you go to Jerusalem these days and happen to either have a guide blessed with vivid imagination or overhear a guide giving a tour in the old city, a guide that's not really well versed in history, he may point out a building in the old city as the home of Dives, the rich man in the parable, this gospel. It is a lovely and very picturesque building. It's a spot in the old city with an archway over the narrow streetway, and there's an entrance that's set aside, and the guide, with imagination and not a lot of sense of history, will point out that that's right, those steps, that's where Lazarus sat. Well, you know, it's quite a bit of imagination, because the fact of the matter is the building could hardly be 2,000 years old, for starters, and the portion of the gospel we just heard is really a parable not intended to be history. But it does evoke a certain sense of invitation to look around, take a closer look at what's around us every single day, and to encourage us to at least ask the question, what is it we don't see when we walk through life? What do we not see, and how do you see what you don't see? I mean, that's really the question behind this wonderful portion of the gospel. I remember a pastoral visit back in 1993 when we were celebrating the 150th anniversary of the Archdiocese. The Archbishop, Archbishop Weakland, and I spent 2 years going from parish to parish to parish, spending a whole weekend either with the parish itself or its neighbor, and getting to know everything about the parish we possibly could, and learning, listening, and teaching presence. And I remember one time we were, as a matter of fact, at St. Jude's in Wauwatosa, and I was delegated to meet with the Human Concerns Committee of the Parish Council. It was a wonderful group of men and women. And they were explaining the kind of work that they did. I asked them, what are the needs in the neighborhood? And then they were very clear and enthusiastic about the way in which they gathered food for the meal programs downtown in the central city. And they explained how they had a very successful clothing drive in autumn, when people took a second look at what they were going to wear that winter and decided what they really would wear and what they wouldn't, and give it again to the poor in the central city. And I remember very clearly saying, well, what are the needs in this neighborhood? And they said, well, you know, with this food program, and they went on and on, and I kept coming back to the question, what are the needs in this neighborhood? And finally, as we began to reflect together, they said, you know, we have a large number of interns from the teaching hospital in County General. And those young doctors really have a hard time, because they spend so many hours, long hours in their training. And if they're married, the marriage is just really strained. And if they're young children, it's really strained. So they began to ask how they might be of assistance to those young families in the neighborhood, maybe offering to do babysitting or whatever. It was a wonderful moment of looking at the nearby neighborhood and asking, what are the needs here? Come back with me even further to the early 1960s, when I was a very young priest out in St. Mary's in Elm Grove. They were wonderful years. The parish school had 1,300 kids in school, and that was a grade school. It was active and busy. I loved it. I didn't want to leave, but that's not always the question. And I remember asking the question, are there any developmentally disabled people in the parish? Pastor said, no, I don't think so. I said, I think maybe there are. And sure enough, as I explored it, I discovered there was at least a dozen families who had individual children in special need, but you never saw them. You just never saw them in the parish or in the school. There were no resources available for that kind of special education, at least Catholic resources available at the time. I went to a wonderful Lutheran in the neighborhood, and she just shared all kinds of things with me. So, you know, again, the question, what is it that we don't see in terms of the needs around us? What do we see and what do we not see? Who are the needy? I don't say necessarily the poor, but the needy within the circle of our own relationships and family and friends and neighborhood. Who are the isolated homebound whom no one ever sees? Who are the widows and widowers? I remember, again, going back over the years, looking for a variety of examples. I remember that Monsignor Schuett up at St. Eugene's every year would invite a group of recent widows and widowers to come for a drink and have supper at the rectory. He said they're kind of lost in the family circle and they don't get invitations because they're no longer a couple the same way they did before. So he would invite them for a drink and for supper. And there'd be about a dozen folks who would come every year, recent widows, widowers. And he said, I'm really not trying to do any matchmaking. I just want them to have a chance to talk with people who have the same experience. When I was vicar for clergy, I invited priests to come together once a year, priests who had lost a parent recently. When you're in a parish situation, you lose a parent, you grieve, you have the funeral, you preside over the funeral of your own parent. You might have a day or two to quickly answer cards of condolence, and then all of a sudden you're kind of thrown back into the work again, and people are calling up and asking for this, that, and the other thing, and you really don't get a chance to grieve as other people might. So I would invite the priest who had lost a parent to come together and talk about the experience and then take him out to supper. The question really is, who do we not see around us that might require or be blessed by some attention? Luke's gospel was written about the year 80. So a half century after the Lord's death and resurrection. It was written, as I've often said, to more affluent, educated people. When the early Christian and Jewish communities had already begun to drift apart, Jewish leaders, on the one hand, kind of suspicious of these early Christians and a movement to ascribe divinity to Jesus because there was only one God, and they're very careful about preserving that and not allowing anything that smacked of pagan polytheism. So on the one hand, you had that phenomenon, and on the other, you had the Christians who were getting a little more nervous and edgy because the Jewish community was beginning to revolt against Rome, and Rome could be very cruel. The Roman authorities, the soldiers, could be exceptionally cruel. So Luke was already trying to explain that reality, to deal with it, to explain the resistance of Jewish neighbors to the wonderful new faith that the early Christians had experienced and wanted to share, and they didn't always understand why there was resistance. Saying, well, if they won't listen to the prophets, well, then they won't listen to someone who rose from the dead either. The gospel comes to us from many layers and speaks to us. That last verse is a faint echo of sadness at the mixed success of early Christian missionaries at home. The point of the parable for Luke's community of affluent people is open your eyes and see who at your doorstep deserves attention and care. God has given each of us an acre or two and asked us to take care of everybody in that acre or two, a circle of friends and colleagues and neighbors, and asked us to see what they need and what we can do by way of response as a sign of God's loving care. Question remains, who do we not see when we look around?